This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We spent some time yesterday on the program talking about, well, talking loosely, I guess, about the American dream, about upward mobility more specifically, and how there is a bunch of research out there that shows somebody's chances of climbing the economic ladder in this country, especially if they started at the bottom, depend on a whole lot of things that are mostly beyond their control. Our wealth and poverty correspondent Chrissy Clark took us out to Dayton, Ohio, to show us how where you grow up, how good the schools are, for instance, how economically integrated the place is, can have a big impact. Today from Dayton, once again, Chrissy explains there is one group of people who are startlingly good at moving up, no matter where they're from.
I went to Dayton, Ohio a few weeks ago because I'd been reading about just how bad people's chances are of climbing out of poverty there. The Dayton metro area has one of the worst rates of economic mobility in the country. 40% of kids who grow up poor stay poor. And I met plenty of people around town who were not at all surprised by this statistic. They'd seen or lived it firsthand. But I also met this woman, Amira Yusuf, who lives with her family in a poor neighborhood on the east end of Dayton. When I asked her, do you expect your children to do better than you financially?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially my oldest son, he wants to become a doctor. Then after he finishes, he will have a lot of money. Then this time I have to relax and sit and he pay money for me.
That's your plan?
Yeah, this is my plan.
Amira literally laughs in the face of her city's dismal statistics on economic mobility. Then again, Amira laughs all the time, a big infectious laugh when she talks about a difficult exam she's about to take in one of her night classes.
What is it in?
Finance.
Or when she talks about how poor she was in Jordan, where she lived before she moved to Dayton, way too poor to own a car.
In my home country, I do not have a wheel of car.
Not even one wheel.
Wheel.
But back to Amira's particular jolliness about the odds of her family escaping poverty. Sure, she may be naturally optimistic, but she also may be on to something. Even though her family started with almost nothing when they moved to Dayton 5 years ago, they had a few things going for them that make their odds of achieving that proverbial American dream better than most poor Daytonians. For one thing, they're immigrants.
There's a lot of evidence out there that the United States is a pretty good place for immigrants.
Nathan Hendren is a professor of economics at Harvard who's been studying rates of economic mobility across the U.S.
We know there's decently high rates of social mobility for immigrants. I think from an immigrant's perspective, it's a place that's kind of always been known as this land of opportunity.
To understand what can make many immigrants' experiences so different when it comes to getting ahead, let me tell you a bit more about Amira and her family.
Now you got an I. Here comes the G.
When I visited their home one afternoon recently, her daughters were playing that classic American basketball game, Pig, in the back alley. From that vantage point, out on the street, the house they live in, a unit in an old two-story bungalow, looks like most of the houses on this street. Kind of run down, a crumbling set of concrete steps leading up to the porch. But where some might see signs of poverty, the Yusufs say they feel rich relative to where they came from. Amira was born in Kuwait, the daughter of Palestinian refugees. Her husband is from Iraq. Both fled to Jordan during the first Gulf War, where they lived in uncertain immigration status, and life was hard.
It's hard to find a job. It's hard to feed the family. Everything's expensive there. Finally, my husband, he said, there is no future for the kids.
In Jordan, she and her husband lived in a crammed apartment with their four children. Amira's 13-year-old daughter, Malath, says compared to that world, their new home in Dayton...
It's bigger.
You have more space?
Yes, yeah. A lot.
Still, when the Yusufs came to the U.S. through a United Nations refugee program, they were a little worried about what they were getting into. Amira says when she first found out they'd been randomly assigned to Dayton, Ohio, a place she'd never heard of, she Googled it.
I learned that Dayton, it's a poor city. You cannot find a job. The life is hard there.
And yet, the moment she stepped off the plane after a 17-hour flight and walked into the Dayton airport...
Then I saw, American lady.
It was a woman from the charity that was sponsoring Amira's family.
She said, hi, are you Amira? I said, yes, I am Amira. Then she said, I am Gretchen from Catholic Social Services. I am your caseworker. You cannot imagine. It's really, I feel like finally God sends angel to us to help us.
The help came in many forms. Local church and nonprofit groups helped them find a house, helped with the first few months of rent, donated furniture and clothes and appliances. But even more than the physical support Amira's family received from the various community groups, what may have been more important to their hopes for upward mobility was being tapped into these groups in the first place. Nathan Hendren, the Harvard economist, calls this access to social capital.
Right. So social capital, you generally can think of that as trust or measures of civic engagement. To what extent do you live in a community as opposed to just a collection of individuals?
Research shows that in many cases, immigrants build special forms of social capital as they connect with other families from their home country and form cultural and sports and religious organizations together. And Hendren says there are lots of ways social capital can help promote upward mobility.
Could be through role model effects, could be through actual connections that a broader community can provide as opposed to just your own parental background.
That can partly explain why some immigrants are able to climb the economic ladder faster than other low-income people around them. But there's another really important reason why families like Amira's have higher rates of economic mobility. Amira and her husband may have been poor, arrived in Dayton with almost nothing, but their family did have one key thing, education. Amira's husband was trained as an engineer. Amira has a degree in computer programming. At first, that didn't seem to matter in Dayton.
My major is computer. I tried to apply for everything. I cannot find a job.
They both ended up with relatively low-paying jobs in a college cafeteria, way below their qualifications. Her husband as a cook, Amira.
Cleaning, wipe the table, washing dishes.
But when I go visit her at that same cafeteria.
Would you get Amira? This lady would like to see Amira.
Where she's now worked for more than 4 years.
What does your tag say?
Production
manager, yeah.
She's been quickly promoted, partly because she had so many untapped skills. And that's the thing. People often look to immigrant success stories like Amira's and say, if her family can climb out of poverty so quickly, why can't anyone? Here's Nathan Hendren again, the Harvard economist.
One thing to keep in mind is that it's not clear that you necessarily want to compare them to the next below median income family there in Dayton. You know, there's a lot of things that are potentially different about that immigrant family. They have a very high educated background, a lot of different opportunities afforded to those parents in their backgrounds.
And Hendren says that's true for not all, but many of the families who immigrate to the U.S. As for Amira and her family, coming to this country was a dream come true.
They call American dream of land.
The land of dream.
Land of dream, yeah. See, then this has really happened. I agree. This is really right. It's you can, like, your dream become real.
In Amira's case, her son, who already has a scholarship to Ohio State University, could have a pretty good shot at becoming a doctor. And once she finishes those night classes she's taking, Amira might be able to start teaching again. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.